This is Philip Broussard, and you're listening to the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Lou Dini, and today we've got Philip Broussard on with us today. We're going to be talking to Philip and learning about his interesting life, military veteran for both Iraq and Enduring Freedom campaigns, which is going to be interesting. He's a great singer-songwriter, heavily influenced by John Mayer. So this should be a lot of fun. As I said, you are listening to the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LouDiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Check back there often for more artist stories like Phillips and Asha Piper, who I just interviewed this morning, and a host of others. We've got something like 320 podcasts up and ready for you guys, so check that out, LouDiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Also, don't forget to check out our live music podcast we do. Now we've moved to Monday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and where you can chime in live with us and join the conversation with my fantastic, amazing, wonderful co-host, Lily V6 of Rock Rage Radio, where we play some of the greatest, latest and greatest hard rock and metal music, and always pick an interesting topic and mix it up with the fans. It's a lot of fun. You can find out more about that at LouDiniRockAndRollCircus.com. As I was saying, we have Philip Broussard on the line with us. Philip is a singer, songwriter, blues-influenced pop artist from Washington State. Philip, welcome to the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, Philip, please tell us, give us a little bit about your background. Where are you from, and how did you get into music?
Well, I was born in the Pacific Northwest, pretty rural area. I grew up very rural area, and you know, I got into music pretty early. You know, I've had a bit of an eclectic background when it comes to music influences. You know, my grandparents used to take me to church, and we'd listen to Elvis Presley gospel. But it, you know, then I would go home and listen to Van Halen, you know, with my dad.
All right.
You know, so it, you know, it's an interesting mix growing up. But, you know, my whole family loved music, and my family doesn't really play the instruments, so I was the only one that ended up picking one up. But, you know, music just has this weird way of finding its way into my brain and working its way through my veins. And a new song will easily give me, it'll make the hair on my neck stand up if I really, really enjoy it. And I've always been really attached to music. I don't know how to describe it. Ever since I was young, just loved hearing the melodies of Simon and Garfunkel. But, you know, I really loved hearing, you know, Freddie Mercury sing. So there's not much about music that I don't love.
How did you get, when did you get started playing guitar?
I picked up my first guitar when I was about 14 or 15. My dad brought it home, and he was playing it, and I would play it, you know, and I would pick it up and strum the strings. I remember the first time I ever did, I just told myself that this instrument in my hands felt like it was right. This was the right thing to be. I was a guitar player, and so my dad, you know, saw me playing it, and, you know, he really encouraged me to play and bought me lots of books and you know, found me lots of resources for me to become a player. And you know, we didn't have much money at all. You know, there was some days where my dad had to figure out whether or not he was going to buy gas or food, you know, so, you know, lessons were out of the question. So, you know, we made do with what we had, and he went to secondhand stores and picked up books and music books and guitar books and everything, and gave them to me, and I poured over them. And, you know, this was with the beginning of the internet too, you know, so I was able to find good resources online. And
right,
even back in the beginning, you know, dinosaur stages, the internet. And, I don't know, when you have a real passion for something like that, cause I did, I fell in love with this instrument, and it felt like a second way of talking. for me, which was really weird to explain to people, because a lot of people that aren't musically minded don't really understand it. But I got to the point where I was hearing melodies in my, you know, I would go to sleep listening to like Jimi Hendrix, for instance, and my brain would follow his solos, and it was almost like his solos were had something to say. And that's, you know, I don't know. I'm just really passionate about guitar. I love it. I just love the instrument. I love how it just, it just sings.
So, but not long after you got into music, just as you were entering adulthood, something, you had a tragic situation happen. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And it sort of caused you to change directions, at least temporarily.
Yeah, so I do have to ask you as the host, like, how much you really want me to delve into this, because the story is sad, but at the same, like, I've had some radio hosts, like, tell me, like, okay, you know, that's a little bit too sad for us, but, you know, it's...
How about this?
Give us
the highlights, and if I feel like I want to know a little bit more, I'll give you, I'll say, hey, you can tell me a little bit more about that. Let's do it that way.
Okay, so... Yeah, it was August 1st, 2004. I got a phone call while I was at work. I was working at a video rental store, and I got a phone call from my mom. And my parents had been divorced for quite some time. But my grandpa was in ill health, and when my mom called me, she said, you know, you need to come home, and you need to come to your house, and you need to expect the worst. And I said, okay, well... You know, my grandfather was in ill health, and I wasn't sure what the issue was. And so I decided to call my dad, and I figured that he would kind of fill me in on the situation and what was going on.
Yeah.
And so I had taken a moment to meditate, and I told myself, okay, this is, you know, it's likely your grandfather has passed away. And this is, you know, my grandfather lived right next door. You know, I could throw a rock to his house. And my grandparents were a big part of my life growing up. And so I took a moment to meditate, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to just prepare myself that, you know, my grandfather's no longer here. And so I took my moment, and I picked up my phone, and I called my dad's house, and a sheriff's deputy picked up the phone. And I said,
ooh,
well,
who's
this? Yeah, no. And I said, who's this? And he said, well, this is Sheriff Deputy so-and-so. And, you know, I'm really sorry to be the one to tell you this, but your dad died last night. And I said, what? My dad died? Like, are you sure you have the right house?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in complete shock and disbelief. I was 18 years old. My dad and I were very close, and he wasn't, you know, he was only 46 years old. It's not like he was, you know, 85.
Right.
So, you know, I couldn't even stand up. My knees hit the ground. I hit the deck and everything. And it's the saddest moment I've ever experienced in my entire life. And so I told my boss I had to go. He said, just go. I got in my car and I drove home. And yeah, it's a very terrible feeling to see your dad being wheeled out of the house, you know, with a sheet over his head, you know, at 18 years old. And like I said, he was only 46. I'm 31 now. So, you know, it's not very far away for me to be that age.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I experienced at 18 years old. Every positive male influence in my life, you know, was essentially taken away from me.
So, and this makes sense, why all of a sudden you say, I have to do something. I need a change.
Yeah.
So you'd opted for military service. And talk a little bit about, did you find some like healing in that? I mean, so tell us a little bit about your journey through that.
Yeah. So I immediately went out and joined the U.S. Navy. And I needed something difficult to take my mind off everything. And I needed a big distraction. I just wanted to get the heck out of where I was at. And I actually went into the recruiter's office and I said to the Navy recruiter, and I said, what's the hardest thing I can possibly do? He said, you could get a SEAL contract. And I said, oh, like Navy SEALs? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, whatever. Put some paperwork in front of me and I'll sign it. So he did. And I, you know, was on a on a plane to boot camp, you know, not too much farther after that. And, you know, I did get accepted to the SEAL program, and it was the hardest training and the hardest thing I could have ever experienced. And you know, it was good for me because it was a big distraction. It was a huge distraction. And, you know, I ended up really just enamored with the program, with the community. And I had a lot of great instructors that were great influences for me. And I still keep in touch with a few of them today. And, you know, it was a great experience for me. I can't stress that enough. It was the right thing to do. And I would do it 100 times over again if I had to.
So while you're doing your military service, music starts to re-enter your life.
Yes.
Tell us what happens.
So a few years into my Navy service, I had pretty much put the guitar down. You know, I every time I picked up that guitar, it just reminded me of losing my dad. And,
right.
You know, it felt like just reopening that wound every single
right.
time I would play a song. And, you know, it was kind of funny, too, because before my dad passed away, he had me the first guitar he ever bought me was this Walmart guitar, you know, this Walmart electric guitar that came with this little amp. And
right.
I, you know, he had me sign this guitar. And I, you know, I thought he was just, you know, whatever, you know, being a dad and
right,
being a supportive dad, you know, but after he died, I went into his closet, you know, we were cleaning this stuff out and everything. And I found that guitar. He had put it in a case and, you know, a display case in his closet. He held that thing very close to him. And, so every time I picked up my guitar, you know, later on, I felt like I was tearing open an old wound. But, you know, somebody gave me a John Mayer CD, and it was the Room for Squares album. And there was a specific song on there. It's called City Love. And I remember hearing that song, and there's a solo on that song that just, it told me, it's, you know, it spoke in a way that I remember hearing when I was younger. You know, I told myself, like, you know, my dad wouldn't want me to give up this instrument. Like, he was really supportive of me, and he really wanted to see this through. And so that album is why I picked the guitar back up again. And I haven't put it down since. I think I've played probably an hour to 2 hours a day ever since I was, you know, 19.
Why do you feel like you gravitated towards this this sort of genre of music that you play? This sort of kind of, for lack of a better word, blues pop type genre, because you have wide influences. You know,
right.
you're like gospel music, classic rock, Van Halen. You know, what made you kind of settle into this? At least you're a young man. You're 31 or whatever. And this
right.
could change. We are, as artists, we're growing and exploring new things.
Yeah.
But why do you think here now this sound?
You know, that's a great question. I heard a lot of my familiar influences in it. You know, I really loved Jimi Hendrix growing up. And I loved Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I really enjoyed Eric Clapton. And I heard a lot of those influences in John Mayer's music. And I told myself, like, why isn't, you know, that sound is exactly what I enjoy, you know, all those influences mm-hmm. all hodgepodge together. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, that music is very expressive. You know, it has its roots in, you know, if we go all the way back to, you know, Robert Johnson blues and, you know, the Delta blues and everything like that from the early, you know, black artists that were playing a lot of this stuff, there was just so much expression. There was so many ways you could make someone else feel what you were feeling through this music. And that's what spoke to me most about it. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of that music was so popular.
Let's go ahead now and check out, one of the tracks This is the song Best Friend, and this is on your EP that you just released at the end of 2017 called Wavelength. And let's go ahead and give this a try, guys. Check this out. This is Best Friend by Philip Broussard on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Say that the blink of an eye in heaven is a thousand years on earth. It feels like a thousand years since you left this place, and I'd do anything just to see your face again. No, I never told you enough how much you meant to me. If I could do it all over again, you'd hear it every day. But there's no going back. Those mistakes are in the past. How many times could I have said that you're my best friend? How many days could I have spent getting you to comprehend? This life is going to end, and I'd be without you, my friend. This isn't fair. Saw how many times I cried in the years since you died, and maybe you would spend more time trying to save your life. But there's no going back. Those mistakes are in the past. How many times could I have said that you're my best friend? How many days could I have spent getting you to comprehend that this life is gonna end, and I'd be without you, my. This isn't fair.
All right. Best Friend, definitely have the acoustic thing going on there. I'm also hearing James Taylor and that sort of vibe as well in a lot of what you do. Let's talk about the EP. You have a five song acoustic blues pop EP out. Tell us a little bit about who you worked with on this and how it came to be.
You know, this came out of these five songs came out of a bigger set of about 30 songs that I kind of whittled away. You know, songs that weren't complete. You know, songs that maybe didn't sound right. And you know, I whittled down to these five songs, and I wanted to give people a taste of what I was putting out. And there was going to be six, and you know, budget constraints. You know, you get hit with budget constraints, and
of course.
And so you know, I opted for five, and I think five is just fine. I think Wavelength has something for everybody. It has some dark sounds. It has some happy sounds. It's just, I think, in a collection of what I tried to present is some versatility. You know, the song on there, Best Friend, it's a sadder song. You know, it's about my dad, and it's got some, you know, some melodic riffs in there that sound, you know, I think give someone a sense of yearning for something. And but then you've got, you know, songs like Drowning. You know, the song Drowning on that album is got a darker sound, and it's very, you know, it's very guitar solo heavy, and so I wanted to show people that I can write lyrics and play guitar.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Wavelength was born. Wavelength, you know, I picture a sine wave in my head when I think of that album, and you know, a sine wave goes up and down and up and down. And I think that's exactly what that album is. It has some songs that are up high, you know, that make you happy. And then there's songs that down low that make you sad. And there's, you know, a song in there that's right in the middle.
It runs the gamut of human emotion.
Yeah, I agree.
So what does the next so the EP is out. We're into 2018. What does the next 6 to 12 months look like for you, Phil?
Oh, you know, I'll probably give Ed Sheeran a call and go on tour with him. You know,
love it.
That'd be awesome. In all seriousness, though, I think, you know, I'd love to get out and play some bigger venues. I'd love to get out of my acoustic pop stuff and kind of start playing with a full band and, you know, add some covers that I really love. You know, I love the song Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix, and I'd love to cover that one. And I mean, my ultimate goal is to play to headline at the amphitheater here in Washington State. And, you know, that's probably 5 to 10 years out, but you know what? I'd love to do it anyway. Within the next 6 to 12 months, I'd love to get some more exposure out there, get more people listening to me and, you know, probably be on your show 2 or 3 more times.
I love it. So do you have, so are you like writing all the time? Are you always like thinking of musical ideas or?
Yeah, I do. I actually haven't penned any lyrics for a couple of weeks, which kind of makes me sad. Work-wise, you know, my day job is actually a bit strenuous. I own a remodeling contractor business, and I've got several employees, and so you know, it's been a bit of a stressful time period lately because we've got so much work going on, and it's just really tough to manage all that. But I do try to write at least one song every 2 weeks or so. And that gives
schedule.
Me a good what's that?
That's a good schedule. I mean, you know, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys that can churn out a song, and gals. I'm not trying to be sexist here. There's some guys and gals out there that can churn out a song a day, and that's just not me. I really want a song to speak to somebody. I don't want to churn out, you know, one good song and then have 10 garbage songs.
No, of course. And that's not actually not too bad. I mean, you figure if you write a song every 2 weeks, then at the end of the year, you've got 25 songs.
Right.
Or so, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's not bad at all. That's awesome. Okay, so why don't you go ahead and plug, let us know where we can find you on the internet so we can keep up with your, you know, upcoming records, songs, et cetera.
Sure.
And you also have a cool YouTube channel. There's some great covers and remakes and stuff on there, too. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so you can find me on YouTube. Just search for my name, Philip Broussard. And Facebook is a great is where I hang out most online. I've been on Twitter for a while, but I don't like. I mostly just see bots on Twitter, so I'm not really a huge fan of Twitter. But but you know, it's a medium for communication. So you know, I'm there. Yeah, I'm actually going to probably start churning out some more YouTube videos, specifically covers, and I'll be promoting them through Facebook and Twitter and through YouTube as well. So I definitely encourage people, if they want to reach out to me and talk to me, that send me a message on Facebook. I'm always happy to hear from people, and I'm always happy to respond. I love talking to people.
Excellent. Well, first of all, Philip, thank you so much for being here on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and thank you for your military service as well. All right?
Yeah, thank you. It was an honor and a privilege to be on your show. I do mean that. I know you take take great pride in your radio program, and you know, it's always, you know, you could easily fill this spot with, you know, Eddie Van Halen or something, you know, and you chose to put me on here, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I let everybody know I did bump Eddie for you today. So. But no, thanks, Phil. You got a couple minutes to hang out. I need to wrap up the podcast. I need to do a little business with you when we're done. You got a minute?
I do, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, guys, that is Philip Broussard, fantastic guitar player, singer, songwriter. He's got a very cool YouTube channel, so you can just search him on YouTube, and that is PhilipBroussard. Same way, find him on Facebook as well. He's a real friendly guy. You can check him out. And make sure that you check out his album or his EP, Wavelength. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com is our website. You want to check back there often for new podcasts just like this one and get up to date on what's going on with our live music podcast that we do every week. So please check that out at Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.com. If you'd like some behind the scenes stuff, if you'd like to know more about guitar riffs and how albums are produced, specifically my album, how songs are put together, etc., please join me in my inner circle. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle, where you can hang out with me and get some exclusive behind-the-scenes stuff as I put together some of my live shows and work on new songs, as well as do what Philip is doing, some great remakes and covers of some ones you know and some ones you may not be aware of. So check that out, LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. Guys, it's we had a great time today talking to Philip. He's a great singer-songwriter, so make sure that you check out everything that he has going on. And I want to leave you with one thought, guys. It doesn't really matter, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, whatever your thing is. I just want you to know this one thing, guys, that you, yes, you, my friends, are the revolution. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll catch you guys on the next podcast.